ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
ABC AFL Daily Podcast time on your Tuesday. Ben Cameron in the chair for Corbin Middlemass, who's away on business, it's safe to say. And I'm joined, as Corbin always is on a Tuesday, by Bob Murphy, former Western Bulldogs captain, and heartthrob. Yep. It says here on the notes that Corbin has left
yes.
me.
Yep.
That must be a typo.
Nope. That's written in ink, and it's true, and we've said it on the radio, so it must be true.
Good to see you, Bob.
Good to see you, Benny.
It was a big night watching all of the footy shows last night,
mm-hmm.
starting with AFL 360, and one of the common threads across all of the four shows was really that there's no path to continuing for Michael Voss, that the end is coming. It is a matter of when, not if, for mm-hmm. Michael Voss at Carlton. And Gary Lyon spoke about that last night on AFL 360.
But it's the same thing every Monday morning,
yeah.
over and over and over, and the same way.
There's an exhaustion to it
yeah.
in some of what is coming through. So what to do?
These are the options that are on the table now for the Carlton Footy Club as they sit here tonight. And the first one's do nothing. So we committed to you. You know, you see it through and, you know, we'll work it out. Well, that's just unpalatable on every level now. Can you afford not to? You can't afford to do that, Jared, because your fans are walking out and your sponsors. So that's do nothing. Next thing is to move on Michael and then say, OK, you coach till the end of the season. That doesn't work. Once you make a decision, you make a decision. So it's appointed, you know, one of the assistants who's there, but one of the assistants who's there is part of this problem as well. So you'll get some freedom. The weight will lift halfway if one of the assistants comes over, but I suspect that, you know, that might make a difference. And then you get to you've got to think outside the square kind of thing. And this is, you know, our man's not going to enjoy this, Jared. Go and appoint Adam Simpson, who's there. For the next 12 weeks, you appoint him and say, listen, you've got carte blanche. You do whatever you want for this 12 weeks.
That was Gary Lyon last night, and like I said, it was a consistent theme that this is only heading down one path, Bob. Mm-hmm. So what is the right way to exit Michael Voss from Carlton?
Oh, that's an impossible mm-hmm. question to answer, and I think what I heard there from Jared and Gary, and I think they were spot on. I think the way they mapped it out was really insightful. Exhaustion was the word that Jared used, and I think that's true, just because it's not if you lose, it's how you lose often in this game that gets you into trouble. And that's the big problem. Or, you know, I mean, there's a whole lot of problems at Carlton, but just that pattern, you know, Carlton are doing a great impersonation of Carlton at the moment of get out of the blocks and then fall over. So what do you do? All options are problematic. And there's also an almost a merciful element of this, of like what's merciful at the moment for the coach if is true what we think, that it's he won't be coaching next year.
I don't think
how
letting
long
it go on too long is merciful for Michael Voss at this point. Like I almost think it has got to a point where it is a little bit torturous. So
yeah.
Five times they've led at halftime and lost in 2026, 11 times since the start of 2025. It feels like the mid-season bye is the obvious landing point, that Graham Wright might take Michael Voss on the same walk he took Nathan Buckley on, and that might be the farewell. But they do need to do it with dignity and class for
I think they would, and they will, but it's a long time. You know, we're talking about it's a decent stretch to the mid-season bye, let alone the end of the year. So it's extremely, extremely uncomfortable for everyone there. It almost makes me think that they will definitely win this week.
Go up to Brisbane.
It's so absurd. Yeah. Carlton, it's such an absurd season by them. Part of me is expecting them to win.
It's ironic, or maybe not ironic, might not be the right word, but coincidental.
Can I just add, if they do win, it actually makes it worse.
Yeah, it does.
Because that's the thing with Carlton. You're like, you can actually play. You blokes can actually play and win and beat good sides, but when you get challenged, you just get wobbly. There's not the mental strategy, there's not the physical strategy, there's not the connection amongst each other and the coach, whatever it is, all of it. and it just falls away.
They're going up to Brisbane to play the Lions at the Gabba this weekend. You go back to 2023. They have 5 goals to zip up in a preliminary final, looking like they're about to make it through to a grand final. They lose that game, and from that point onwards, they've never been same team. So it's been a heck of a slip back. You did have 4 coaches, Bob. So Wallace,
I had 5.
Did you? Who am I missing? Yeah. I have Wallace, Ead, McCartney, and Beveridge.
I had Wallace, Rode.
Oh, Rode.
Ead, McCartney, Beveridge.
So yeah. Rode was the Johnny Barker caretaker.
Well, he was a caretaker for 1 week, and then he got the job.
Yeah.
He coached us for a couple of years. You've just wiped those.
I've just wiped those.
The glory years off the... Sorry. We didn't win a lot of games, but good man, Peter Rode.
So did you learn anything from how the Bulldogs handled those differing exits of those coaches?
Gee, that's a big question.
You were just worried about young Bob at that point in time.
Well, none in every one of those situations, the finishing of a coach and it was a short period. So it wasn't, you know, it wasn't a long stretch. I think Rocket left with maybe a month to go. So by that stage, it wasn't, you know, you could see the finish line. This is Carlton's in a totally different situation. Much, much worse for Carlton.
We did see in the NRL, I think Anthony Seibold was sacked 3 weeks into the season. So that's very early on to make a call about a senior coach, but they did it in the NRL. Carlton were very consistently spoken about last night on the footy shows, and this just caught my attention when Damien Barrett was speaking about Paddy Cripps, the Carlton champion, and his future at the club.
There's a similarity going to unfold, I believe, at Carlton too. It's not going to surprise me, and I think quite a few people in football, if Paddy Cripps chooses to go down a similar path to Zach Merritt, to seek exit of a contract that he's got with the Blues. And this is a two-time Brownlow medalist, the still current captain, who is clearly struggling this year, not on his own, but he's contracted for 2027, Jimmy, and he's still captain, but...
Losing faith? Has he lost faith? Is that the reason?
Look, there's been no official word that he wants out, but there's enough murmurings now. I've been checking this story out now for weeks, and I take everyone connected to him at their word, including him, that he hasn't considered it. But look, the two clubs in Perth are not going to be surprised if his management at some stage about this bye period just make an inquiry about it. Now, whether they would want him at this late stage of his career, I don't know. But it's not going to shock anyone in this footy industry, Sam, if he chooses to leave.
So that was Damien Barrett, and Sam McClure, who was about to jump in there, went on to point out that Damien Barrett was really the first person who mentioned the smoke surrounding Zach Merritt. So generally when he raises something like this, he's done a lot of background work on it. So, this is just a watching brief, I think, around Paddy Cripps.
So is the story here, or the potential story, that Paddy Cripps has had enough and that he may seek a different club? Is that what we're talking about?
Well, it's fascinating because across differing shows or different shows, so I think On the Couch presented it more as a case of whether Carlton might look to move on Paddy Cripps. Mm-hmm. And that if Paddy Cripps was to be moved, it would be basically against his will. You can't trade players against their will. But if they told him, look, we really want to get you out, we think it's best for you, it's best for us, there might be a situation where he agrees.
I hope he stays. Mm. I just hope Paddy Cripps stays. Now, that probably means that, you know, he won't get to play in a premiership. But I just feel like Paddy Cripps, way more than any other person at Carlton Footy Club right now, is tethering that club to itself. Do you know what I mean? There's that cultural element. He's a big central figure to it. He's carried too much of a burden his whole career there. But I do feel like Paddy leaving, Carlton become untethered. And I actually think, you know, it could be even worse. If you want to trade players, I wouldn't be looking at Paddy Cripps. I can sympathise with him. I think we all could if he did decide, because he's done his bit. He's done as much as he could. But I don't know. I just hope he stays.
So you're suggesting there are some players that for the emotional, cultural worth that they hold to a footy club need to just be off limits.
So the way I would describe it, and just forgive the simple and maybe even the crassness of it, but if you've got Harry Mackay, Paddy Cripps and Jacob Wittering, I would trade Harry Mackay. I think Wietering and Cripps keep Carlton tethered to themselves and the club, and you can and they can help build around. Harry, I think, probably has a fair bit of currency. I don't think he plays with enough passion and presence and vigour for his potential. So that would be something of more of a curiosity for me from the outside.
Oh, I look at Paddy Cripps at the moment, and I feel like I just see someone who is emotionally, physically, and mentally exhausted. Like, he's carried such a
burden.
He
just needs more help.
Yeah.
Like, but he's looked like that for a long time. I remember, like, years ago watching him, and he had this gait, and as good a player he was, it's like, he'd tape all over him, but he had that, he's got this gait of, he's, you know, carrying Uluru on his shoulders of, can someone just give me some help? He's had to carry a fair bit too much, I would say, in his career.
Five times a John Nicholls medalist, and whether he'll stay at Carlton will be a watch in the media for the next few months, I guess, as everything plays out at Carlton. Last night across pretty much all of the shows as well, Bob, not one specific show here, there was a gushing about the Sydney Swans forward handball game and how they've revolutionised the game. It was the back end of last year they started to get this going, and we've seen it continue into this season. It was spoken about on the couch. It was spoken about on Channel 7 as well. But I did think back to Sunday afternoon, and I was up in Sydney in our traditional 3:15 slot on a Sunday, Bob, working with Ryan O'Keefe, who jumped in to interrupt me while I was gushing about Sydney's forward handball game and offered this counter view.
I'm still questionable about this forward handball and the over handball. I think when the pressure comes and it gets finals footy, that can falter because it can cause a lot of turnovers. Teams that will come in and press and put forward pressure on will cough it up. So I'm still, the jury's out with me of this forward handball. I don't know if it's going to stand up to finals.
So that was Ryan O'Keefe on Sunday. And as soon as he said it, I went, oh, yeah, that's a really good point. Why haven't I thought of that?
Yeah, I hadn't heard that audio of Ryan O'Keefe there. That was my instinctive response too. So clearly it's working for Sydney at the moment. But my recollections in the good teams that I played, if you came up against a side who used a lot of forward handball, it was like being given an invitation to put pressure on them. Just once you see that first one, just charge up, you know, the old frontal pressure, because you'll get opportunities to turn the ball over off them. So if it's working for them at the moment, and that maybe they've got it down more than their opposition, but it was always seen as an invite to bring intense pressure from the opposition.
So there's a few things on this. They'll have to beat Brisbane, who in their own way play a very different style. They go into a kick mark model, almost defending with the ball, which we've heard a lot about. So Sydney won't have that helter-skelter run and gun game that we have seen them play.
Good song, Helter Skelter.
It is a good song. So whether that will work for them is going to be a big watch when they come up against the Brisbane Lions, so they'll more than likely have to beat to win the lot. The other point...
Well, they might have it on their whiteboard too, Brisbane, which is something to consider strengths, weaknesses.
Don't go too early. We're about to get to the whiteboard.
Sorry.
But the other point is...
Corbin gives me a bit more rope than you do. You sort of keep me a bit...
Tight rein.
A bit
I've got to let you...
You got the blinkers on me. You got to...
let you free. You're high-spirited as a horse. I've got to let you run. You're a free-spirited Bronco.
Bronco, that's it. Brumby.
The other point I'm concerned with Sydney is that they're playing this well this early. And historically
come on now.
I know it's a bit of a negative, like, what do you want them to do? Not play as well. But teams do study you, work you out, put some bits and pieces together.
They're not going that well, though, are they? Like, they're playing well, but...
They're top of the ladder. They've played eight
games.
Yeah,
but I tipped them to be top of the ladder, so let's not forget that.
Yeah, correct. Let's not forget that. Seven scores over 100 points, though, out of their eight games. So they're averaging 650 metres gained by handball, 938 metres gained by handball in the game against Melbourne on the weekend.
Is that a lot? I've never heard these numbers before.
Apparently, that's a lot.
Look, it's a budget day today. There's a lot of numbers swirling around. It sounds like what you're telling me is that their handball meters gain numbers are high.
Yeah, I think
the highest.
I just hope they're not negative geared.
No, well, we'll find out.
We will find out. But Yeah, I've just got to watch on that. I like that take from Ryan O'Keefe. One of the other big stories over the weekend, which you've just alluded to...
Spoilers.
...was the whiteboard. Whiteboard gate.
Whiteboard gate.
And this was debated on agenda setters last night.
You guys are not long out of the game. How common is that? And do clubs now need to think a bit more carefully in a modern era about...
What about looking after
the
opposition?
And the
absolutely
language?
Not. Absolutely
they use
not.
About
no, absolutely not.
You think it's all fair game on a whiteboard?
100% fair game. Not because context, this was never meant for public consumption and it wasn't
framed. But I would think that
it wasn't framed. Is it always that juvenile? Are the comments always that
like
juvenile?
Like what?
Like Bronte?
Well, I'll give you slightly juvenile at best. Anything other than
simplistic.
That.
It was very
simplistic.
Yeah,
but I think context is important. It wasn't just designed to be a malicious personal attack, and it wasn't meant for public
It looked
consumption.
Arrogant for a club who has prided itself on its humility.
Yeah, I get that.
And
everything
they
else,
be embarrassed.
Everything else, players are trying to win.
Sorry.
No, it says to me that they do the little things and they prepare better than other clubs. Like, I don't reckon every club is doing this. I don't think the clubs down the bottom are going through and spending time on the opposition's weaknesses. They could have rocked up and beaten Essendon, no worries, but they've spent the time to go through the opposition's strengths and weaknesses.
I said with Half on Sunday night, you can never predict the stories of a footy season. I did not have Whiteboard Gate as one of the stories to come out throughout the year. This was just unbelievable. If you've been living under a rock and you don't know the background of the story, so a whiteboard inside the training facility in Springfield in Brisbane where the Lions train. They had some Auskick groups touring the facilities. An Auskick parent through a window has taken a photo of the strengths and weaknesses board listing the strengths and weaknesses of every Brisbane Lions player. Some of them were listed as selfish for the likes of Zach Merritt and Kyle Langford. Ben McKay had low on confidence. Next to Jackson Pryor, who's a former Brisbane Lions player, it had for his strength Bronte, which is his partner's name. And then it had sort of temper and disposal listed as a weakness. I think also Sam Durham had hothead. Listed yeah. next to his name as a weakness. What did you make of all of this, Bob?
Not exactly NASA levels of sophistication no. here, is it? So I don't see it as a major story. I've gotten a fair bit of giggles out of it. I'm surprised that it's still as basic as that. It sounds like something from the early parts of my career. When I step back from it, just with the whiteboard, if it's private sensitive, wipe it off, turn it around. There's just certain whiteboard etiquette, okay? That's just pretty basic sort of stuff. So let's put that to bed. I took it as an exercise in just getting young players to think outside of themselves and who they might play on. That is basic and as simple as that, because I would expect the level of sophistication to be a bit more than, oh, he's a hothead, oh, he's selfish, like... I think it's more geared towards getting younger players to appreciate who else is out there.
That is the origins of it. So the Brisbane Lions, yeah. I think, have said that they had issues getting the younger players to do their board scouting. So they thought, look, we'll do it like this. And Chris Fagan spoke about the fact that he got the idea from doing some personal development with Eddie Jones when he was coaching England in the International Rugby Union. And saw that they did this, and players would come by during the week and write up what they'd picked out about their opponents. So he thought, I'll bring that back.
Yeah, there's 100 different ways to do it. So part of me, if I'm being brutally honest, I was relieved it was as tame as it was.
Yeah, it was fairly
tame. There's another version of that would be cringe, more than cringe.
In what way? In terms of the really strong criticism of...
Yeah, or personal stuff Yeah, personality-based or, just crude language or those sort of things,
Yeah.
Back in the early part of my career, I can quite easily imagine that happening.
Yeah, so could I. So none of it really got me that bent out of shape. I think, we always speak about truth being the best defence. I think most people in the footy world at some point in time would have labelled an allegation against Zach Merritt correctly or incorrectly about being selfish. Everyone can see that Ben McKay is low on confidence. Like, you don't need to be a savant to pick that
out. Yeah, I was like, oh, gee whiz, this is intellectual stuff.
Yeah, and then a few other points, like the Bronte name next to Jackson Pryor. So that is his partner. I think Brisbane thought, and the way Chris Fagan spoke about it, I think they thought, oh, gee whiz, this is going to be a big story and we're going to get broadly criticised for that. And that's why he was quite defensive about it in the postscript. And obviously, they've had their challenges with, you know, a very public affair and breakup for their former co-captain in Lachie Neale and whatnot. But, I mean, I looked at that and thought, oh, it's a bit grubby. I hope it was a case of, oh, we all love Bronte. We know Bronte. She's a champion. We'll write her name up. That's probably naive.
It doesn't translate. It just doesn't translate. We, you know, you'd like to think the atmosphere in that room when it was spoken about wasn't too unsavory, but it just doesn't translate. That's why your whiteboard's clean.
But it's also a case. It's not a hanging offence. I think it's, boys, just have a think about that and move on.
Yeah.
So they're getting frosted glass installed this week, believe it or not. That is not untrue. So frosted glass.
What a win for frosted glass.
Is coming in.
You know, strength.
Yep.
Frosted glass.
Frosted glass. The other point is Chris Fagan. I love Chris and everything he does. He said, oh, maybe we won't let people in. And then he said, no, we're a good footy club. We'll continue to let people in. A lot of taxpayer money did go into building the facility. So you kind of have to, in many respects.
Just give it a wipe.
Yep.
Whiteboards.
Yeah.
That's what they're good for.
The other point is, surely every club is doing this, aren't they, Bob? In some way, shape or form.
A version of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I just think I expected it to be a little bit more in depth than what we saw on that occasion. But, you know, that's just a small sample size. But, yeah, that's they dissect of, like, who is this player? What's their strength? Where do they go? What's their running pattern? What's their history, body shape, all those sort of things.
But there might be a more in-depth version as well.
Totally.
That we don't see
documented
on paper. Yep. And that's just
a bit of a think tank and get guys talking and get them thinking out of their own little neuroses, as footballers can tend to do, get themselves a bit wound up.
A little brainstorming session. I don't mind that. It did make me think of, I think it was in maybe Test Match Cricket. I think it involved South Africa. I can't remember the other team. I know that they had their dossier about the opposition analysis. And it said, you know, Bob Murphy likes to flash at balls outside the off stump early in his innings.
It's true, too.
Whatnot. And they slipped it under the door of the hotel. Unfortunately, it was the opposition's door of the hotel that they slipped it under. So
they just had a ribbon on it.
Oh, this is what they think about me.
Here's where we're at.
I did think as well, it made me think of the saying, feedback is a gift. If you're Essendon and you see that, like if you're Zach Merritt, if you're Kyle Langford, like that is a way of...
Narrow the focus.
Yeah, reflecting.
Make it personal.
Yeah, and thinking, okay, that's what they think of me. So Sam Darren played angry on Saturday too. He played like a man who he didn't disprove the theory that the weakness that he was a hothead, but I loved that about him.
And where's Ben Mackay's confidence at?
Yeah, low.
Still low?
Yeah. I always say that one of the things I love about Sam Darren is that he is so competitive that it's like he has a visceral response when things are going badly at Essendon. Like it just comes over him and he'll run into someone and
it's all external. Yeah.
Oh, I love it. So more of that.
Every footy club needs one of them.
They do. One of the other big talking points out of last night was Damien Hardwick on AFL 360 speaking about the suspension of Sam Closey for his tackle on Ryan Angwin, where Angwin hit his head, and the non-suspension of Ben Long for his slap on Clayton Oliver.
But I still look at football acts a little bit differently to non-football acts and feel they should be fine. The game needs its talent playing. We're an entertainment industry. We need our talent on the park.
Then you go and get Ned Long and he does slap and jump a punch and he does get a fine, Ben Long.
And if I'm being completely honest, you get a week for stupidity if I'm Ben. That was just, you know, it's uncalled for. It's not in the football game and it's a disappointing thing. It costs us a 50. And to be fair, it probably should have cost him a week, I feel. Like, it's a non-football act. So these are the things we're trying to get out of the game, whereas the other one is an action that's in the game.
Stupidity and Ben, two words that go together like peanut butter and jelly, Bob. But you've been a long-term campaigner for this.
Oh, praise hands for Damien Hardwick on this. This sends me sort of around the twist of the in-game incidents where players are put into situations that are split second, 50-50 balls. You know, there's no two circumstances that are the same. And we judge these when we slow them down. Oh, you tilted the head. Feet left the ground. Oh, that's 2 weeks, 1 week. And then a player will just punch another player in the stomach 50 metres away. And we go, oh, that's a week. I'm like, no, we've got this all wrong. So you know how we brought in the punch, you get a week for that. Make it 4 weeks. 4 weeks. You punch someone in the stomach, you get a month. Like, let's just test how dumb some of these blokes are. I can't get my head around it. There's football incidents or football moments that Damien Hardwick describes and these other things, and people go, oh, snowflake. It's just violence. That's got nothing to do with footy. Punching a bloke who's not in a fight is not tough.
Yeah.
It's just, it's ill-disciplined. It's got nothing to do with footy. And if you're dumb enough to punch someone in the stomach 50 metres away from the game, 4 weeks. Let's see how many of them do it now, because 1 week hasn't been enough. They're still doing it. Like, I'd be furious with a teammate if he missed a big game because he's punched a bloke or slapped a bloke. It's just the stupidity is ridiculous.
I can't remember too many slaps in the game either.
No, that looked like a bit of a palm.
Yeah, okay.
It had more palm than phalanges, I reckon. Okay. So
it was almost bordering on punch.
I just think it was a hybrid. It was like a brunch. It was a little hybrid.
Would have hurt. Yeah. So
I love Ben Long as a player. I want to watch him play.
He might be the most improved player in the competition over the last 2-3 years.
He could be.
But, that was silly. Caroline Wilson on Agenda Setters last night had this story about the Dacos family and trying to keep Nick at Collingwood long-term and the involvement of his dad, Peter, in that.
Now, the conversations have been happening before that with Craig Kelly, for example, and the Dacos management. Look, why don't we send Peter Dacos over to Adelaide and take a group of Coterie people and have dinner, which has happened. But even more, why don't we just pay Peter Dacos on a retainer to be an ambassador for the footy club, which he already is, at a time when, and I don't mean to harp on this, and there has been a bit of a redress, when the Dacos family for a while, Craig, seemed to be travelling the country, doing sporties.
Is this a way around the salary cap? That's exactly what it is.
Well, I think it's legitimate.
I'm so confused.
So Caroline Wilson is suggesting that Peter Dacos, who reportedly was most displeased when Nick didn't win the best and fairest last year and left before the end of the Copeland Trophy, that he was driving through the CBD and saw a massive billboard of himself wearing a retro Collingwood jumper, had no idea that promotion was going on.
Right.
So he called the club and said, any danger, guys?
Yeah.
Well, what's going on here?
Yeah. IP.
Was later remunerated for that advertisement. But the suggestion from Caroline Wilson is that they could make him an ambassador for the club. He could take care of some coterie groups. And it might be a wise way for the Collingwood Football Club to just get the Dacos family back on side so that the man who probably has Nick's ear
Now I'm catching up. So keep Peter happier. And then that means Peter's influence on Nick would work to keep him there. Okay.
Yep.
Oh, I thought if Dad's around more, that'll be keep Nick happier. And I think, I don't know about their, I'm sure they seem like they get along pretty well, but just having Dad around all the time might not necessarily.
No, it's a bit of a blow. But we've seen it with Carlton, haven't we? I mean, no one would have ever thought that a Silvani would leave Carlton.
That's true.
We've witnessed that.
That's true.
No one would have thought Nablett would leave Geelong.
That's true.
Gary went up to the Gold Coast Suns. So I think Collingwood would be derelict of their duties not to be looking after Peter in this way. But it is a little bit nuanced around the salary cap as well.
Is it? If he's doing a job?
I think they would have to prove to the AFL that he's doing the job, that he's doing X to earn Y. And we've seen that with, I think, Damien Hardwick's partner at the Gold Coast Suns. So they have a history of working in footy clubs. They got a chance to work at the Gold Coast Suns, but there had to be some level of checks and balances that the role was being fulfilled. We've seen it with Tom Scully's dad at, I think, GWS.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I suppose so. I could see it being pretty straightforward. It's still a bit perplexing, the whole story. I maybe just need to digest a little bit more.
Ambassadorial roles are great, though, aren't they? How do you get one of those?
Yeah, first cousins with the junket.
Oh, yeah, it is. I would love to get an ambassadorial role. I'm not sure what for, but
we'll work that bit out later.
Just quickly, a bit of fun to finish up. You were watching the football on the weekend, Bob, and our very own Corbin Middlemass was calling the footy with Nicky Del Santo.
Yes.
He's a favourite of ours. We love Nicky Del. And he said this on the coverage.
It's his size that causes McDonald some trouble. 204 centimetres. He's a huge man. I know you're not allowed to put their weight in it. At least a ton. I reckon he weighs at least a ton, Brad. He's
good
a
ton.
Huge guy.
A good ton.
What did you make of that, Bob?
So I was watching, I was listening, and it's not in my nature to go after, you know, one of my former comrades in Nicky Del. But what caught my ear, I can't ignore it, and I text Corbin. I said, just so I'm clear here, does Nicky Del think 100 kilos is a ton?
It's on the cricket century.
Yeah, it's not. There's a ton in cricket. And then there is a 1,000-kilo ton. And I just had a bit of concern.
Mm.
And then my old teammate, Brad Johnson, he kind of jumped in and broadly supported it, but in a vague, ambiguous way.
Do you think Jono knew what he was doing?
I think Jono knows how much a ton weighs. That was what I took home, and he didn't want to fully commit either way. Corbin just ha-ha'd my text message. So
I thought he would
stayed,
have replied and said, who's this?
He stayed out of the corner. I mean, maybe I was lucky to get that. But I don't know. I need a little bit more clarity. Mm. We can't have that.
He's a big NDS
guy. It's a long way off a ton. It's 900 kilos away from a ton, Nick.
T-O-N-T-O-N-N-E.
Yeah.
Nicky Del.
Two different things.
Yeah. We love NDS here on the ABC AFL Daily Pod.
Of course.
Bob, great work from you as always. Corbin Middlemass, back next week, I'm led to believe.
So
anyway,
he says.
After doing all of the boxing. Awesome. Enjoy your week.
Have a good week, mate.
This has been ABC AFL Daily. 5 drops a week. Tell your friends.